ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
The Lord's excellent speech was difficult to comprehend because of its momentous import and its most profound significance. The sages heard it with wide open ears and pondered it as well, but although hearing, they could not understand what he intended to do. Purport: it should be understood that no one can surpass the Supreme Personality of Godhead in speaking. There is no difference between the Supreme Person and his speeches, for he stands on the absolute platform. The sages tried with wide open ears to understand the words from the lips of the Supreme Lord, but although his speech was very concise and meaningful, the sages could not completely comprehend what he was saying. They could not even comprehend the purport of the speech or what the Supreme Lord wanted to do, nor could they understand whether the Lord was angry or pleased with them. What Krishna says is difficult to understand. What he's just said to the four Kumaras is difficult for them to understand. Even though they are known as Jnanis, even for one who's very knowledgeable, to understand Krishna is not easy or may not be possible. Who can understand Krishna? The whole Srimad Bhagavatam is meant for understanding Krishna. He's not easy to understand. Understand means not as an object of clinical research, but to know him is to love him. Aham sarvasya kabhava matas sarvam prabhatite iti matva bhajante maam buddhavasya. To know him is to love him. Knowing him means he's the source of everything. Knowing him also means in relationship with all his energy. So it may be that someone knows that Krishna is supreme, but still doesn't, that deliberately don't love him. Just like so many demons, Kamsa, Hiranyakashipu, who knew of Vishnu's position, but they didn't accept their own subordinate position. And they thought that, well, he's pretty big, but I'm better. So to know him, even if we accept him as sarvasya prabhavaha, the source of everything, if we think that nevertheless I'm greater than him, then we become a demon, which is what's about to happen to Jayanvijaya. Now that's difficult to understand also, isn't it? Why should the Lord send his servants, dedicated servants, to become demons? Of course they had the choice to become demons or devotees, but in the material world is basically a demonic kind of situation. So why would he want to do that? There are so many points about the Supreme Lord. It's very difficult to understand. See the different pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Many of them are difficult to understand. Why did he, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, punish Chota Haridas so severely? It's not even very clear from the text of Chaitanya Charitamrita what he did. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, in Chaitanya Charitamrita states his fault, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, yeah, in Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Prakriti Darshan, Vairagi, renunciant, if he looks at a woman, or Prakriti Shambhashan, or if he converses with a woman, I can't tolerate. But who is the woman? The only woman mentioned is Madhavi Devi, who it's mentioned that she was very old, and generally the material energy works that men are attracted to young women, not old women. So she was very old, and she was also very advanced. But she wasn't, I mean, nowadays especially you might find old women trying to give out some kind of romantic vibrations, but it's specifically stated that she was a great tapasvini, highly renowned, and she was a great devotee. Prabhupada, he commented once that there was some young woman there, which Chota Haridas, he was attracted to her. So for this reason, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected, and even at the pleas of all his devotees, would not relent. And then he heard that Haridas' life, he said, very good. That's good. That's the proper atonement. Death sentence. His banishing him was a death sentence. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He gave a death sentence to him. For once, at least we only know of once, looking lustfully at a woman. I don't think there'd be any. It'd be pretty tough if it was like that in ISKCON. I mean, there'd be a lot of death sentences. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also with Prataparudra Maharaj. Later he relented, but Prataparudra Maharaj was saying that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to save everyone in the universe except one king called Prataparudra Maharaj. He won't give any mercy to me. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so tough. This Vajradapi Katora is tougher than a thunderbolt. We don't expect that if you think about God. God is very kind. Of course, the Judeo or Abrahamic version of God is one who throws people into hell and burns them forever. Doesn't sound like a very nice God. I mean, my Christian upbringing made me an atheist at around the age of 13. That's God. Don't want to see him. Throws everyone into hell forever. No chance of redemption. But we like to hear of the sweet God who is soft like a lotus flower. So he's soft like a lotus flower. He can be very harsh also. That's part of his character. Apparently very harsh. Of course, everything he does is good, but it may seem very harsh. There was a washerman in Mathura. Krishna entered. Krishna asked, you give these clothes? And the washerman said, no, they're meant for the king. You better behave yourself. You're just young boys from the village. You don't know what you're doing. This is capital city. The king's here. You have to offer respect to the king. You can't use the king's paraphernalia. Who do you think you are? So, you think, well, there wasn't much wrong with that. That's he did a good thing, the washerman, because the young, inexperienced boys, he's maybe a little harsh with them, but spare the rod and spoil the child, the saying goes. You have to teach them how to behave properly. You just can't walk up to the king's servant and say, hey, give this to us. We want to have it. He gave them. What he said was true, except in this case, the young children happened to be Krishna and Balaram. And as a result, he got his head chopped off. So it seems like it doesn't seem like he did anything very wrong. And even if it was wrong, it wasn't that wrong. It's just, Someone parked his car in the wrong place. So, all right, shoot him. Sounds like, you know, it's like an extreme punishment, isn't it? Firing squad. So, I parked my car on the yellow line. So, shotgun. It seems like an extreme punishment. Why did Krishna do that? Well, there's a whole history behind it, of course. Who is that? Rajaka in a previous life? Who knows? He did something bad in the previous life. Well, he was the He was complaining about Lord Ramachandra. He was complaining about his wife. That you're just like, you run away out of home. I'm not like Ramachandra, who his wife goes away and he takes her back. You get out of here. So, as a result of that, Ram, when he heard this, he banished Sita. So for his offenses to Ram, and even more so to Sita, accusing her of infidelity, then Ram, he couldn't punish him in that way, because he did the same thing on that basis. He thought, I have to uphold the principle. But then he got his fair dues in the next life. But the washerman who was previously an angry husband, he, being killed by Krishna is of course a great blessing. So even Krishna's harshness, it's always beneficial. Even the washerman is the servant. He was the servant of Kamsa. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sanskrit Thakur analyzed that Kamsa represents Mayavad, and the Rajaka, the washerman, not just washing, but he's also dyeing clothes. So he represents Smartavad. Smartavad is the servant of Mayavad. They go together. You'll find Smarta, of course there aren't many real Smartas left these days. They've all become the worshippers of Sai Baba and all this kind of thing. They used to have some kind of philosophy. Now they just became completely insect. So, there are Smartavad means we shall try to enjoy this material world, and that's actually derived from the Vedic literatures. That the idea that we shall perform karma kandya activities, perform yajna, and from doing that, from performing yajna, then there will come jnana gradually. The idea is that by performing karma kanda, one will gradually come to jnana kanda. And the end result of that, nirvishesh jnana, that undifferentiated knowledge, is that merging into the impersonal absolute. So smartavad is, they know that, you know, we're enjoying now, later we'll get mukti. We're not in too much of a hurry, but later on we'll enjoy now and get liberated later. That's their idea. But the Mayavad, specifically the Mayavad, is the, here we have the Brahmavad, it's the four Kumaras, the Brahmavads. There's some difference. Mayavad means they think that Krishna is also Maya. Brahmavadi, they don't really have much information about Krishna, but they're not specifically offensive to him. When they came in contact with Krishna, the Brahmavadis, four Kumaras, that's what happens to real Brahma, but they're not offensive, they don't have knowledge of Krishna, and then the result is that they become attracted to Krishna. The four Kumaris are examples. Shukdev Goswami is an example. There are so many examples of Atma Rama. They're satisfied in themselves, but they're attracted to the transcendental qualities of Krishna. But the Mayavadis are envious of the transcendental qualities of Krishna. They deny that they exist. And therefore, they become offenders to Krishna. So Mayavad, as promulgated by Sripad Shankaracharya, it purports to recommend the path of renunciation. But the practical result is that people become more and more entangled in material enjoyment. So Smartava, the washerman, he dyes clothes in different colors and gives them to the king. So he makes this Mayavad is dressed up with Smartavad, and it makes it look very attractive. That we can enjoy this world now, and later on we'll get liberation. So Krishna killed, first of all, Smartavad, and later on he killed the representative, symbolic, that it can be understood that way. He killed Kamsa. And someone was asking recently this about Balaram killing this Roma Harsha. Seems pretty severe, doesn't it? He didn't stand up. You don't stand up when one is seated to speak on Shastra, then he doesn't stand up for anything. May not even stand up for his own guru if you're speaking. Even Prabhupada, he told that during the class, even the deity curtain opens, you don't bow down. Just go on hearing. Go on respecting the Supreme Lord in the form of sound. Go on here. Don't bow down at that time. Shastra states that in front of the deities, one should not bow down before anyone else. Although generally in our temples we do to sannyasis and so on. But actually, according to Shastra, you're not supposed to. Prabhupada allowed an exception for himself. So there are certain formulae of etiquette which are given by the Supreme Lord himself, and he himself sets the example of following all of these rules and regulations. That's one purpose of him coming. Dharma samsthapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. He comes in every age to establish dharma. And how does he do that? One important way he does is by himself acting according to dharma. So after Balaram had killed Roma Harshan, the rishis who were there said, well, we know you're the Supreme Lord and you're above everything, but according to worldly outlook, this was against dharma to do this. Of course, dharma is very subtle, and to understand it fully is very difficult, because every situation is different. And what is the ultimate measure of dharma? Who can say? What ultimately determines dharma? If one's activity is dharmic or not? Should be according to Shastra? Is that the answer? Because Shastra may say different things. Don't tell lies is one thing. Then follow the order of God is another. That's how Yudhishthira got caught. He didn't want to tell a lie, but he didn't. In doing so, he failed to follow the order of the Supreme Lord. So he was caught between two. At first he chose the wrong one. What's the determinant? Should be according to the instructions of the spiritual master. Well, that can also, the instructions of the spiritual master can also be contradictory. And circumstances can make them apparently contradictory. Just like the spiritual master says to attend Mangalarti each morning. And let's think of the circumstance. Pretty tough. Well, you may not. There may be some circumstance. A devotee is walking to Mangalarti and he gets attacked by some dacoits, and you say, well, I have to go to Mangalarti, so you look after yourself. Or should you try and help in some way? Call someone else to help or fight with the dacoits? What should you do in that circumstance? Brahmachari shouldn't talk to women, and some woman is lying on the road stabbed, and I'm not going to look up. You should, should do something to try and help, isn't it? So, okay, that's not the determinant. Yeah. Pleasing to the Supreme Lord. Yeah, that's the ultimate determinant. According to Shastra, the determinant is one's attitude. So, ultimate dharma, it should be the, if it's pleasing to the Supreme Lord, the motive, that is the ultimate determinant. Why one does something. So this is where Balaram found Loma Harshan wrong. That he didn't stand up, that's acceptable because Balaram was playing like an ordinary person, but he detected in Loma Harshan that he wasn't just standing up, he wasn't just failing to stand up because he had the right to do so. But he actually thought that, who's this guy Balaram? He was envious of Balaram. So Balaram killed him, which is an extreme thing to do. And why does he do it? Well, one thing is he can do whatever he likes. But at the same time, everything he does is for the benefit of others. So we can see that Loma Harshan, he was about to speak on the Shastras, but he wasn't qualified. Even though he might have been good at explaining them, he was very learned and might be good at explaining them in a way that sounds very nice, but ultimately because he was envious of the Supreme Lord, then just like the Mayavadis, they may tell you, you worship, do bhakti, worship Krishna. But the poison will come in. Even they tell you that, but because ultimately they're envious of Krishna, then their instructions to do bhakti, their ideas that you do bhakti, and then by doing bhakti you become purified, then you realize soham. The one I'm worshipping, he is a. I am he and he is I and we're all the same. So then when you become pakka, when you become experienced, or when you become purified by doing bhakti, then you stop doing bhakti. So it's not actually bhakti at all. It's time serving. I'm just doing this to gain some advantage. So their instructions on bhakti can never produce bhakti. Even they tell you the same thing as an actual bhakta tells you. But the result will be different. They may tell you, chant Hare Krishna. That's very good, chant Hare Krishna. But chanting, if heard from the lips of a non-devotee, have poisonous effects. So, Balaram removed him from the situation which was very dangerous for him. He would have made so many more offenses and would have the whole idea that the Srimad Bhagavatam will be spoken for the benefit of the world during Kali Yuga that was about to get hijacked. So Balaram removed him from the scene and put him back in the form of his own son. Atmavai Putra. That one lives as his own son. So Sutta Goswami is qualified to speak. And so many other good points came out of that Balaram, he was sent by the sages to purify all the holy places, he visited so many holy places and made them more pure, more purified. So that was effected also. So many good things came from that. So everything that Krishna does, it's good for everyone in all circumstances, even though it may appear harsh. It may not be easy to understand. The acharyas, they will explain many of the reasons. There may be innumerable reasons why the Supreme Lord acts in various ways. The acharyas, they explain Otherwise, we might not have faith. Our faith might be compromised. What is this? What kind of God is this? That he's so unjust. No, he's not unjust. He's most just and most fair. Or even he's more than just, he's merciful. That if Romaharshan or the washerman, they were just given justice, that wouldn't have been as good as the mercy that they got from Krishna of being killed by him. If they got justice, they'd have to suffer. But by being killed by him, they attained the liberation. So he's more than just. But everything has to be understood very carefully, because everything about Krishna is how can we understand Krishna? Even why he comes at all. Most people can't understand this. Especially, like I was saying, from the background of Abrahamic religions, that's Judaism, Christianity, Islam. They can't accept at all the personality of Krishna, although their religious processes are only meant for understanding God, but they don't understand God at all. And if one gives a proper concept of God, they reject. They'll pray to him, especially in Islam, they'll pray to him, but then if we say that he's a person, they strongly reject him. So they're praying to what? Undefinable. There's no question of love. You can't love the undefinable. Krishna is undefined. The Supreme is not fully definable, but there has to be some concept. Otherwise there's no relationship, no love. And even those who deny that he's not a person, he's not a non-person, he's completely indefinable, well, that's also a kind of definition. So you can't avoid it. If we say that he spoke to Muhammad, peace be upon him, then something about him is said, and he's not fully undefined, so they're trying to avoid that he has any semblance of anything approaching a personality. But he has. He is. And personality means that he is a person, has likes and dislikes, and a certain way of acting, which is for the benefit of all. It's very difficult to understand what can be for the benefit of all in all circumstances, because people have different desires. So what can be for the benefit of all? In the Bible, there's this story of two women came up to Solomon, I believe it was, and said that they both claimed one child as their own, and they didn't have DNA testing in those days. So how to solve it? If you give to one of them, then the other will be disappointed. So he said, okay, we'll cut the baby in half and you can have half each. So if he'd have actually done that, then neither would have been satisfied. Or if he'd have given to one of them, then one of them would have been dissatisfied. And if he'd given to neither of them, neither of them would have been satisfied. But his test was to, okay, we'll chop the baby in half. And he saw that how they reacted. The one who reacted the strongest, that's the mother. So he said, no, give it to the other one. All right, I'll give it to you. So he acted fairly, which was for the benefit of both of them. So the benefit, because one of them was a cheater. So she shouldn't have got the child. She was lying to the king, lying to everyone. So punishment, the Supreme Lord may give punishment, but that's also specifically because he gives it. That is his kindness. The king is considered Naradeva, the representative of God on earth. We don't have kings nowadays. We have elected representatives who their main business is Prajasti Bhakshishyanti Lencharajan Nirupina. Their main business is simply to exploit and devour the citizens. They're not representatives of God. But the king is the representative of God because he gives reward and punishment according to dharma. So we have to be very careful in approaching the king. Certain persons we should be very careful in approaching. Guru, Brahmin, king, an animal with horns, be careful. They can do good. You can get nice milk from the cow. You know, we can be careful. Horse is very dangerous. Front, middle, and back, all dangerous. But if you know how to approach, you can ride on the horse. But otherwise, it may bite you at the front, kick you at the back, or throw you off in the middle. So you have to be careful. And be careful approaching the guru. If you please him, then everything, Ishvara Puri, he served his guru up to the zenith stage. In the traditional caste conscious India, no Brahmin will touch anyone's stool. Guru may have a servant, but he doesn't take out the stool. They call a sweeper, what they call a sweeper, bhangi, for that. But Ishvara Puri was personally doing it. And I wanted to serve in all respect. So as a result, he got the mercy by himself being such an ideal disciple. He got the mercy that he became the guru of someone who is the guru of everyone, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Whereas another, the Ramachandra Puri, he thought what I'm saying is good, that you, what are you lamenting for, Guruji? Now you're dying, you should be fixed in Brahman. Madhavendra Puri, I'm so unfortunate, I couldn't attain Krishna, I'm lamenting because I can't attain Krishna. That's his highest ecstasy. And now this rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman. So, as a result of Ramachandra Puri's offense to his guru, he became offensive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu directly. And then again, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu treated him. He didn't throw him out. He behaved very respectfully to him. So, this is the subject of Bhagavatam. That when we can understand the basic philosophy, who is Krishna? Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. He is the source of everything. He is the supreme controller, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Vidyesha Arjuna Tishtati, who is situated in everyone's heart. He is Janmadhyasya Yataha. He is the source of everything, from which everything is generated, by whom everything is maintained, into whom everything enters. When all these points are understood, then we can come to the psychology of God. What is the nature of His personality? Krishna is wonderful. How wonderful is he? How is he acting? How everything he does is for the benefit of everyone. And particularly for the benefit of his devotees. Even though it seems impossible to understand, why did Krishna leave Vrindavan and plunge the Vrajvasis into such suffering? It's impossible to understand. But still, the acharyas have given some reasons. So, are there any questions? No questions. One question. Yeah, please.
You commented that hearing from Maya is like poisonous. Now it is seen that many devotees, they watch DVDs, Ramayana, Mahabharata, many other things.
They want to read?
Hearing from Maya is like poisonous. Nowadays it is seen that many devotees, they watch DVDs of Mahabharata, Ramayana, and many other serials, commercial serials. So what will be the effect of that?
Oh, well, the result will be, the effect will be, according to Shastric analysis, that, it'll be just like drinking milk, very nice milk, with some poison. So, may taste nice, but the result is poison. As you know. You just wanted to ventilate the point.
What is your recommendation?
What is my recommendation? Don't read books by my bodies. Don't watch Mahabharata DVDs. I actually never watched them, but I know that Mahabharata, because when it first came out, how many years ago? 20 years ago? And on Sunday morning, wherever you are, you could just hear that. So you make Krishna consciousness better. That's the suggestion. Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada said that one should not try to understand Krishna, but one should try to love him. Is that the right statement?
I'm not sure of that. How can you love someone without understanding? There must be some knowledge. I often give the example. Just like you've heard of Sanjeev D'Souza. Never heard of Sanjeev D'Souza from Goa? Well, if I tell you to, you know, you should really love him, you say, oh, okay. You know, who he is, where he's coming from, what he eats for breakfast. I say, Sanjeev D'Souza is coming, so let's, okay, prepare a meal for him. And then you prepare a vegetarian meal. He says, I'm from Goa, I like seafood. Where's the fish? So, you have to know something. To love means you have to know something. Krishna says, Patrang Pushpang Phalamantarayam, you offer me these things. Yeah? So we have to know what to offer him. By the way, I don't find pizza in the list of things Mother Yashoda offers to Krishna. And plenty of other things too. So, we should know about Krishna. Understand to some extent. Understanding must be there. Otherwise, why is there Shastra? Shastra is to give us knowledge of Krishna. It's not just something to be parroted. Aham sadasya bhavala natasaram pravada. You're supposed to... Krishna's speaking to Arjuna as an intelligent person. Arjuna has questions. Krishna answers them. Arjuna understands with his intelligence and decides to surrender to Krishna. So it's meant for understanding, which means use of the intelligence. So to some extent we can understand Krishna. How far? What is that what Brahma says? Jananta eva jananta kim bahu janame prabhu manasa vachaso bhava vaiva mamtava gocharaha. He said to Krishna, others may say, I know about Krishna. As far as I'm concerned, to understand your glories, with mind, body, words. It's beyond the scope of my mind, body, and words. So we, yes, understand, but on the other hand, if we think we understand, then we don't understand. So it's difficult to understand. But if we think I've understood Krishna, then we haven't understood. But if we this is achintya. Achintya, we don't think, oh, achintya, that means which is beyond thought. So okay, we don't think of Krishna. Krishna's achintya, so that means we shouldn't think of Krishna. Achintya means not within the scope of the chaitanya, not within the scope of thought, so don't think of Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy is achintya bheda bhetatva, so don't think of Krishna. That's an incorrect understanding. Understand as far as we can, and that's also by how to understand Krishna. Sevam mukhe vijayavada swayam swayam. By service attitude. He reveals himself. Yes. Someone else?
Hare Krishna, thank you for your wonderful class. Here is Sainas Yam Kashmu Jayavijay. On external background, it is said, we can see that his curses are done because of anger created.
Yeah.
And in Srimad Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that one should try to control his anger, or anger will control him. Would you like to say something on this?
Why does the sages get angry? It doesn't seem like they're very sage. They're getting angry.
Actually, here it is arrangement of power, but on external level, this is regarding anger.
Well, that may be difficult to understand. Because they're Vajradapi Kathurani, they're being as harsh as a thunderbolt. But the end result is something good. When great saintly persons curse others, that's for their good, always. Narada Muni, he cursed Manigriva Nalukovara. The result is that they made it to the pages of the Srimad Bhagavatam. They became great devotees, glorified as great devotees. So the result is always good. Anger, Hanuman's anger. If Hanuman had advised to Ramchandra the Ahimsa policy, then Hanuman had advised Ram that I think you should just control your senses and don't be attached to women. Take sannyas. Lucky for you, your wife got abducted. Then, that might have sounded good, but that would have been against the principle of Ram Lila. So it's good, Hanuman got angry. He got all the other monkeys angry too. Okay, it's rascal Ravana, let's smash it. So that anger is good. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam.